Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast. Thanks for listening. We're the podcast that helps you get information about medicine, but most importantly, not is it just the news or the latest books or the best guests, but it's what it means for you so you can live at the top of your curve. I'm privileged, really, to have Dr. Nina Shapiro. The website is drninashapiro.com. Talk about her book, Hype, and about, in fact, what we should do in general to get the best medical information that won't disturb you, but will let you know how to do exactly what we want you to do, live at the top of your curve for as long as you want. Dr. Shapiro, thanks for coming on. And as Dr. Sanjay Gupta says, probably every home should have a copy of Hype. But let me go and ask you a couple of questions. How do we get better education about science for our general population? Because that's what you're talking about, right?
It is, and thank you so much for having me. So I think that, you know, one of the issues is we are bombarded with information on a minute-to-minute basis. And it is really hard, even for doctors, to digest what's an exaggeration, what's true, what's completely false. I think that, you know, some of the basic things that we talk about is when people have a problem or have people have a medical question or a health question, they go to the internet, which is an amazing source. But I think what people tend to do is bias their searches. So if you think you have a certain disorder, you're going to search that disorder and find that you actually have it. If you want a certain medication or a certain supplement to work for you, you're going to search and find out that it works for you. So I think what people
it's kind of like we get in medical school. As you go through learning about each disease, you all of a sudden say, I've got that, when in fact it's just
right.
The
we
association.
Used to call it second year disease, that you had everything, whether, you know, whatever organ system you were studying, you had that disease. It's terrifying and it's overwhelming, especially if you don't have a medical or a science background to find this information. So I always recommend start with the basics. If you have a symptom, you can look up your symptom online. And again, but don't go too crazy that all of a sudden you've created a diagnosis. It just may bring you to more questions, perhaps to ask your doctor.
Let me go back to that subject about what do we need in general? In other words, if you look at it, one of the great chapters in the book Hype, it relates up to vaccines. And we when you listen to our president now, there's clearly what I would call a persona of he has gotten the information from the best spokespeople about vaccines that don't know anything about vaccines, if you will. That is, they're totally uneducated about them, and he's listening to them. How do we change, and what we obviously need to do is to not let this happen for any of our politicians. How do we get them to be better educated, which I would guess is how do we get everyone to be better educated?
Right. I think, you know, vaccines, you know, that's a tall task to have some of our politicians better educated. But I think, you know, if you're thinking about it, just you don't need to be an immunologist to understand that vaccines are preventing horrible, horrible illnesses. And people are talking so much about vaccine injury, and nobody's talking about what these illnesses are that the vaccines are preventing, or how safe the vast majority of the vaccines have such a low risk of any sort of complication or problem. People are really focusing on the very few problems. And again, any medication, anything is going to be, you know, carry some risk with it. But the risks of these illnesses far outweighs the risks of these vaccines. And I think because we don't see these illnesses as often anymore, thankfully, thanks to vaccines, we're talking about these very, very infinitesimal risks of vaccine injury and not talking about the horrible risks of these illnesses.
So when you think about the process of educating all of us against the hype, meaning how do we not, it's classic for the news industry to broadcast the latest story and to publicize it. And even if you look in places as good as the New York Times, it is clear to those of us in the medical profession that do research studies and are, if you will, involved in this, that the even as good as the New York Times science people are, they often speak of hype. So, for example, when, and I have a specific example that I like to bring up, which is about the vitamins. So when the 10-year data on vitamins and cardiovascular disease showed no benefit, that made the front page of the New York Times with some headline like, throw away your vitamins, they don't do anything. Mm-hmm. But when the 20-year data came out, which showed tremendous, a sizable benefit, perhaps more benefit from just taking a half a multivitamin twice a day than virtually any other preventive maneuver you could do, with the exception of maybe exercise and stress management, that never got covered. It didn't get, bring your vitamins out of the trash can and start taking them again. That headline never made it. So what do we do to, I suppose, stop the hype, and how do you, and that's one of the things you go through in the book, is what do you do to look at it so that you can get the right analysis?
Well, I think that, again, you know, certainly in journalism, in all forms of media, it's going to have, you know, in order to sell, it's going to have some sort of hype or exaggeration. And that's really what hype is it's not that things are wrong, it's just that they are exaggerated. So, you know, for instance, the vitamin study is much more interesting if you say, throw out your vitamins, because that sounds so contrary to what we would be used to doing, as opposed to, actually, vitamins are pretty good for you. That's not so interesting, so that's not going to sell. And again, back to the vaccines, saying that, oh, there was a horrible vaccine injury is much more interesting than, oh, this child didn't get measles because they got a measles shot. That's not going to be front page news. So I think that whenever there is anything that is extreme and you say wow to yourself, always take a step back, because there's always going to be either another side, or perhaps it isn't so incredibly phenomenal to really make it worthwhile to have a lifestyle change. I mean, there was a headline recently that a twin astronaut went to space and he came back with 7% of his DNA changed, and this went viral as soon as the information hit. But that was actually not the case. His DNA protein expression may have been changed a little bit, but his DNA was not changed. He would not be a human if he changed his DNA. So sometimes these sensational headlines, which we crave, we all crave that excitement and that extremity. You know, we all have to take a step back when we hear that kind of information.
So some of the subjects you deal with in this excellent book, and I've got to say, the book is called Hype, H-Y-P-E, A Doctor's Guide to Medical Myths, Exaggerated Claims, and Bad Advice, and How to Tell What's Real and What's Not, by Dr. Nina Shapiro, drninashapiro.com is her website. And again, the book is called Hype, out, I think it came out May 1st, so it's recently out. You go through a number of things, including vaccines, but one of the most interesting is hyped exercise, climb every mountain. So talk to us about that, And I'm particularly interested in the hype that is why is sitting called the new smoking? That I would say is real hype for sitting being as bad as smoking. Am I wrong in understanding that?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think certainly it's not as bad as smoking, but again, that has been a headline that has given it attention. The idea of the sitting disease, and again, you certainly can't liken it or equalize it to something as horrible as smoking. But I think what we're finding is that there are surprisingly more negative effects of sitting for prolonged periods of time than we had known. Not just, oh, that you're not burning calories and you're not moving. It could affect your brain function. It could affect your vascular function, your cardiac function, your pulmonary function. So I think it's now being recognized as a more significant negative than it had been known. But I think part of the hyped exercise is, again, we all are in a society where we crave extremes. So if you're going to exercise, I think a lot of people tend to push themselves to the point of exhaustion or even injury, thinking that more is better, when that, you know, I think especially for exercise is not necessarily the case.
That's clearly true. That is, you don't need extreme exercise to get a lot of health benefit. I think that's what you're saying. And the second thing is that we have recognized sitting as a problem. It is, if you look at sitting, that is, if you look at the average amount of walk of time physically moving for the average American and compare it to the worst, it's maybe a 2-year longevity and a 2-year disability effect compared to smoking, which is about a 10-year effect. So that's why I say, right, I think that sitting is overhyped as a risk factor. Not that it isn't a risk factor, it is. And it's a risk factor that's easily curable, that is, by people just getting up or setting a watch and walking a couple minutes out of every half hour. But I'm worried that it is overhyped because it isn't the same magnitude of benefit of giving up a pack of cigarettes. And I don't want anyone who's smoking to think they can just get up and walk and it's the same benefit.
Right, or walk and smoke, so it's okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Walking doesn't negate the detriment of smoking, that's for sure. I think the issue about sitting is that people hadn't really recognized it as a potential negative for their health. And I think a lot of the newer data is showing that it's not just, you know, if you sit all day and then exercise vigorously for 30 to 45 minutes, it's still, you know, you still should be up and about, again, as you said, every half hour to an hour without sitting for prolonged periods of time.
Now, you go through a technique in the book called hype. The book is known, is hype, but you go through techniques to be able to help us understand what is real and what is an exaggeration or what's not. What should we do? Have you given, and this I realize is a little outside the bounds, but what should we do with our science education programs in high schools or in grade schools? How do we change that to make it much better so that more people understand that everything they read in Google may not be right?
Yeah, I think that's a really important issue because, again, obviously, in elementary school and middle school, you're going to be learning some very basic, hopefully some very basic important science information. But I think later in children's education, they need to understand what it means to read critically. So I think even to understand how to read a scientific journal article, to understand when it's the basic hypothesis, methods, results, and conclusions of an article, was it 3 patients or was it 300,000 patients? I think we take it for granted because we're in medicine that we understand the difference between those. But I think but certainly by early high school, kids should learn how to read a journal article and not just rely on Google as their future source for health understanding. If they want to look up an article, they should be able to understand the methodology of research. I think also there should be some courses in schools about internet searching. How do you know when you hit the first the first page of a Google search, what's biased and what's not? You know, what does a Google ad mean, for instance? I think that should be taught in schools as well. It's critical.
Actually, you know, that's a great thing. I don't know how to say this in any other way, but I think you came up with a great new course is how to do a Google search and how to understand what's real and what's not in your search. Maybe they offer that in schools already.
Book two.
What?
I don't think so. I don't think they do. I think, you know, I know that some high schools do offer, and it's great to hear. I know in my kids' school, they teach how to read a journal article. I think that's really important. Again, you don't have to understand the details of the science with just basic information, but just to understand the implications of a study and what that really means. Because again, when we read, you know, in the newspaper or on a Google search, a study shows clinically proven, scientifically shown, groundbreaking, all these buzzwords, what do they really mean? And the answer is nothing. And I think, you know, if kids understand how to decipher that information early, they'll be, you know, more critical and wiser, you know, health savvy people in the future and know how to do a Google search, their other course.
We've been talking with Nina Shapiro. The website is drninashapiro.com. No punctuation in the Dr. Nina Shapiro part of that. Her book is called Hype, a beautiful cover and a wonderful inside to the book. It is something that all of us should read, and probably we should get into every high school because it is, or every college as well, because it is such really key and important information. You've been listening to
Thank you,
the Owner's Manual podcast, 893B. On your listening, please tell others about us. Please download us weekly and rate us. If you have questions or want to ask for a specific topic or a specific guest, you can email us always at ageproofwife@gmail.com anytime, and we'll try and get those guests on if they have broad enough interest. Nina, thank you very much for being on. Ben, thank you for great engineering. And thank you especially for downloading us.